Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
If you haven't settled into the cloud yet, we're here to help.
Oh, that sounds comfy. Also, I'll show you how to be more logical.
And plus, an app that's using AI to help blind people see.
Ooh, it's time for iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by Tracker, a coin-sized tracking device that pairs with your smartphone and keeps you from losing your most valued possessions. Visit thetracker.com right now and enter the promo code iOS Today to save 20% off any order. iOS Today, the show where we cover iOS today.
I'm Megan Maroney. He's Leo Laporte.
I am. She's wearing an Apple Watch, so am I. We got an Apple iPhone. These are all iOS devices. An iPad. And yes, we even consider the Apple TV an iOS device. And we cover all four of those on this show. We show you apps you can use, tips you can use. We cover iOS news. It's kind of everything you need once a week on iOS.
So we thought we would compare some cloud services today.
Yes.
Everybody's in the cloud. And I thought this was a good time, too, because, you know, we've been trying out iOS 11 and showing that off. And part of iOS 11 is the new Files app that lets you access
the cloud. Yeah.
Not
so
just iCloud.
We should probably explain what we mean by cloud before we go too much farther.
Yes, we should.
It's not just a little puffy thing.
No, clouds aren't just puffy things anymore.
Actually, it goes back to the days when engineers would illustrate circuits. And, you know, you'd have certain symbols for different, you know, transistor and a resistor and so forth. And if they were drawing a network, they'd have servers and they'd have computers. But then they had this problem because then there's the internet. There's out there. And so they always represented it out there because it's an unknown. It's a black box with a puffy little cloud. So that's why we call it the cloud. It's whatever is not in your premise. You know, it's outside your premise. And truth is, it's really the same thing that's in your premise. You know, the network that you're going to, whether you're going to OneDrive or Google or Facebook or Amazon, is really just a bunch of computers connected by, you know, usually Ethernet. It's just that they have a connection to the internet, you have a connection to the internet, and you get together over this cloud. So when we talk about cloud, we're talking about using storage that isn't on your premises, that's somewhere out there over the internet.
Is it okay if I still like to imagine that my photos and files and stuff are just up there somewhere?
Yeah, except that it's kind of important if to understand that it isn't really, that it's just on somebody else's computer.
Right.
Now, they're very fancy computers and they're very fancy network centers that are air conditioned and they have backup power. They're probably more reliable than our homes and offices, but it's the same kind of thing. And that means that sometimes the people who work there can look at what's on those computers. It means law enforcement can often subpoena what's on those computers. In fact, in the past, they've even been known to go into these network operations centers and take all the computers and bring them back to the forensics lab and analyze them all. So it's important to, if you think it's just a cloud, then it may be the properties of that cloud are kind of amorphous, but it's not. It's the cloud's just really where how we're connecting. It's really on just a computer system in somebody else's office.
Right. It's good to know who that somebody else is.
Very important. Mm-hmm. And what their policies are and whether they have access or if they use encryption at all. And if they use encryption, if they know the key or you know the key and things like that. These are really important if you want to protect your privacy and your security. For instance, we talk about iCloud. That's Apple's. Now, remember, iCloud is just some servers in North Carolina. It's in a big network operations center. They're computers with hard drives and processors, very much like your computer. They're not Macs. Actually, interestingly, Apple runs on Windows. They use Azure for their cloud.
Really?
Which is a Microsoft service. Doesn't matter. That's one of the best things about the cloud is you don't have to think about what file format, disk format, what kind of computer. None of that's important. It's all accessible to you over a standard protocol, over an internet protocol. But, you know, Apple in this case, encrypts the data as it's going to the cloud. It uses HTTPS. You want to make sure of that so that nobody, no bystander, can just snoop on what you're sending to the cloud. And then they encrypt it on the hard drive with strong encryption. But, and this is pretty common with cloud providers, it's also true of Dropbox and Microsoft's OneDrive and Amazon, they hold the encryption key. And that means if you had a rogue employee, I trust Apple, and they keep those keys pretty close to the chest. But if you had a rogue employee who had access to the key, he or she could see your stuff, that law enforcement would almost certainly be able to get your stuff with a proper subpoena or warrant. And so sometimes people, that's sometimes for people not enough. They want something Steve Gibson calls trust no one, which means only you have the key that can unlock your data. And there are very few trust no one cloud providers. So it's important to think about what you're putting on the cloud. And really, unless you're using a trust no one provider and you really know what you're doing, not assume that that stuff is private. And of course, that's the trouble that a few Hollywood stars got into a few years ago. They used iCloud to back up the contents of their phone, which happened to have embarrassing pictures of themselves, and these pictures leaked out because somebody hacked Apple's iCloud. That's a perfect example. Mm-hmm. Don't put anything on the cloud you wouldn't want grandma to see.
Right. I mean, that's a good discussion about what the cloud is and what stuff is. We're talking about this being stuff, you know, all of our stuff. When you think about your stuff in your house, you're protected. You're protected against, you know, it belongs in your house. But once it's in the cloud, all this stuff is not the same. Like you're saying, you know, it's not protected necessarily by, you know, search and seizure rules and all that.
Right. So having said that, somebody was asking in the chat room at the beginning of the show, do you recommend iOS 11 on if you have an iPad Pro? I wouldn't do it if you absolutely have to have a reliable iPad Pro, but we're both using iOS 11 now.
We are.
Which is a beta. It's in the second beta. The second one came out this week. Mm-hmm. And I found it's very reliable.
Yeah.
I love it. Mm-hmm. And one of the features, and we're going to show you, is this new file browser. And you see, not only does it browse your local files, but look at all the cloud providers. There's Google Drive.
We can't see because of your head.
Okay. There's my big fat head. There's, what is DS Cloud? Oh, that's my, okay, this is my
is
personal
that your trust,
cloud.
Is that your Trust No One Cloud?
Yeah. Pardon me?
Ooh, let's look at it.
Disk Station. Thank you. You want to look at it?
No.
Okay. So Disk Station is a Synology network attached storage, a big Synology, that's the company, drive in my wine cellar.
Oh.
Because it's cool. And so that is a kind of trust no one, right? I mean, as long as you know that the Disk Station software is secure and that you're transporting data to it secure, I can store stuff there that no one has access to. Law enforcement would have to come to me with the warrant. And that's, you know, that's good. The problem with iCloud and all these is, thanks to the Patriot Act, law enforcement can go to Apple with a warrant, and Apple can't tell you. So, you know, your data could be seized by law enforcement without your knowledge. At least this way I'd know. Here's OneDrive. That's the Microsoft cloud. Here's the stuff on my iPad. Here's Apple's cloud. Here's Dropbox. So right there, you see, and these are all things I have account with, so I've turned them on.
You also have the app, presumably, on your iPad, because I know that if you don't have, you won't see all those if you don't have the OneDrive app. Right. You won't see it if you don't. You'll only see iCloud until you download, like, the Drive app.
Here's another way to do a local cloud. This is the OS X server, which is inexpensive. I can't remember. I think it's $30 in the App Store. If you have a Macintosh, you can download this in the Apple App Store, install it, and run it, and use your Macintosh at home as the cloud. Now, you'll have to do some configuration with your router. This is probably like the Synology for more sophisticated people. But these are two ways built right in. I have the DS Cloud software on my iPad. That's why it shows up there. So that's not built in, but the OS X server is, that you can access your stuff and keep it private. Mm-hmm. What do you have in your... I'm just curious. What do you have in your file browser, Megan Maroney?
I have the same. I don't have a DS. If you show my screen, Kevin, you can see what I have. iCloud, my iPad. I turned on OS X server because I thought, why not? But then when I tap it, it just does.
That's because you're not running OS X server. Yeah. So you need to set that up and run it at home. So you might as well turn that off because it's just annoying because there's nothing there.
Right. And I can also move it down if I want to get out of there.
Google Drive is, of course, everybody's got, well, most people have Google Drive.
And I have OneDrive, and then I have Dropbox, but I haven't signed into that yet. But I just downloaded the app, so that's what it looks like. And then you turn it on, and it'll probably ask me to sign in. Oh, no, I guess I already did sign in. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I have. I wanted to show you one thing real quick. Last week, I was complaining about this Studio Neat canopy and that I couldn't get to the dock without sticking my finger in there. Many of you reminded me of the keyboard shortcut to get the dock, which works on OS X, and that is Option Command D.
This is bothering me, I'm just going to do this a little bit here so we don't have the angle.
Is that good? Yeah, so Option Command D to get that. So
yeah, but that's hard to remember. Option Command D pops up the dock.
Yeah,
or hides it.
Or yes, Option Command D. Goodbye. Yeah. So those are the ones that I have. Should we talk a little bit about the price? Because everybody has a little bit of free space for you, but once you get into more than that, it's going to cost some money.
Right.
All of this, and iOS just constantly nags you. To upgrade.
Unfortunately, you don't have a choice about that, I don't think. I guess you could. Now, that's an interesting question. If you completely disabled iCloud, which I don't recommend, would it get rid of all the nags? The reason I don't recommend it is because even with only 5 gigabytes, which is the free storage, at least you have a backup. You can copy files there. And most of the Apple apps like Pages and Keynote, the iWork apps, will by default store on the cloud. So I leave iCloud on. It's not, here's another reason to use the cloud. So we've kind of been talking about backup, storing your photos and things like that there. Another reason to use it though is many applications will use it as file storage. Mm-hmm. And the reason you might want to do that, what if you're using Pages on your iPad and then you go home and you have a Mac, you could open Pages there and it would be able to see those documents. You could work on those documents from a variety of places. Mm-hmm. Now that's only good if you're all Apple. Actually, that's not strictly true because you have iCloud access. You just don't have Pages. You have iCloud access on Windows. You could probably open the Pages document with Word or something like that. But that if you are a Windows user on your desktop, OneDrive will do much the same thing. That's Microsoft's solution. OneDrive also gives you a certain amount for free.
5 gigs.
But many people have a lot more because you'll get, as with Google Drive, if you buy a Chromebook, you get 100 gigs of free storage with a Chromebook. If you buy some Windows machines, you'll get free storage off in 100 gigs. In some cases, even more. I think I have a terabyte.
With Office 365 with subscription, Office 365. You get a terabyte.
Yeah. Now, they used to say it's unlimited. A terabyte is unlimited. It would be. If you're, the one negative of the cloud is you have to use your internet bandwidth to put it up there. And most people have much slower upstream bandwidth than they do downstream. You know, when you buy your internet, it usually says something like, 20 megabits, your mileage may vary in most cases, as fast as. But what you really want is the dual number, 20/5, and you can find that. The second number is your upload speed, and that's what is the limit with cloud storage. And it's one of the reasons a terabyte is virtually infinite. You're not going to store gigabytes of data up on the cloud because it's just too slow to do that, unless you're lucky enough to be working here where we have what's called a symmetric connection, a fast 10 gigabit symmetric. So it's 10 gigabits up and 10 gigabits down. Then cloud makes a lot more sense. That's why cloud really started, the whole idea of cloud storage really started in businesses that had a lot of upstream bandwidth. So remember at home, your downstream bandwidth is going to be somewhat of a constraint on what you can do. Your upstream, I should say.
Right. I also think that be careful before you load all of your stuff in one cloud. Because I feel like these are the prices that they are now, but there's no telling they're not going to change in the future. And I don't think that there's some sort of conspiracy theory, but I think it is very likely that these companies are saying, yes, it's free, it's unlimited, and then I've put 10 years of photos on there, and then when they say, you know, we're going to start charging, am I really going to move those 10 years of photos somewhere else, or am I just going to say, okay, you know, $15 a month, not a big deal. I'm going to do it.
Right.
So,
well, that's a good point. Amazon, for instance, if you're a Prime member right now, offers unlimited free photo storage, much like Google does. But who knows if that price will stay free. In fact, I didn't know how I did this, but I was checking my Amazon Drive the other day, and I had 100 gigabytes there, and they wanted money. They wanted me to pay that that money, and I actually just started deleting stuff because I didn't.
You didn't want to pay $12.
Well, I had turned on automatic uploading on a desktop, I guess.
I would like someone to do a study to see how many photos of just like the ground there are, like up in those cloud photo storage, you know, where you just like accidentally took a picture or an accidental screenshot, just the things that up in the cloud that nobody intends to save, but it's just so easy. We're doing automatic camera upload. I'm sure.
I bet there's a lot of stuff.
So, okay, so it's 5 gigs free for OneDrive and iCloud. Google Drive gives you 15 gigabytes free, but that also includes your Gmail if you're using Gmail.
And that fools people because Gmail can be the bulk of that.
Mm-hmm. And Dropbox only gives you 2 gigs free. So 1 terabyte is $10 a month. Pretty much for everybody, 1 terabyte is $10 a month. Google Drive, 1 terabyte is $10 a month. iCloud is $10 a month. But everybody but iCloud will give you a discount on a year. So for most of these services, aside from iCloud, it's $100 for a year. For iCloud, it's still $9.99 a month, whether you subscribe for a year or not. So just, you know, minor, they're all about the same. But so there are other features that I think you should consider besides the cost.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think about privacy when you're comparing all these different sites?
I'm just logging in real quickly because I forgot one other cloud service that I do use on all my other computers and I hadn't installed yet on here, which is Box. I like Box. Box is kind of a competitor to Dropbox. It's very similar to Dropbox. It has somewhat of the same capabilities, and it will show up in the file manager. If you, that was a good example of, since I hadn't installed it, it didn't show
it didn't
up.
Show
now
up.
That I've now that I've installed it, it should be in there.
Why do you like Box?
The reason, yeah, there it is. The reason I started using Box is because it's it was used on I think it was one of my Linux distributions. So one of the things that will affect your decision is some apps will use a cloud service as backup or storage. That's why you might want to use Amazon Prime storage for your photos, for instance. And there are until recently, iCloud was a little broken for app storage, so people tended to use Dropbox. Some used Box. So I have a lot of apps that store their data, for instance, on Dropbox, which really encourages you to have a Dropbox account. Although, again, 5 gigabytes is a lot of free storage. I think that's why I have Box, I think, is because one of my apps used it. But it's very similar. I don't know if there's any significantly different features. What is also important is there are some trust no one services that may or may not have iPad apps, but there are other cloud services. I'm going to mention one right now called Trezor It. It's out of – let me just see if there's an app for it. Yeah, there is. So this is – this is out of in, Trezor. It's from the German word Tresor, which means treasure.
Oh.
it sounds like I'm kidding. But this is trust no one. So in this case, your data is stored on their servers, but they don't have access to it. It's also in Switzerland, and they say, well, the privacy laws are better here. The only, They use standard encryption, which I think is good. The only thing that worried me is they say patented encryption, and that worried me that they might be using their own proprietary stuff. But I see here they're using RSA and AES. That's a good sign. You know, the RSA looks like that's used for transport from yours to the other. AES would be for their local storage. That's a good sign. So this has some limitations when the cloud service doesn't have the key. There's some things that they can't do as a convenience to you. But if privacy is key, there are services like Spider Oak and Trezor It, or I like to say Trezor It, but Trezor It, that do have what's true trust no one encryption.
What happens if you forget your password?
You're out of luck. Don't.
Got it.
But that's what you want, by the way. And that's one way to test if they have your key. If you forget your password and you can ask them, oh, I forgot my password. Could you give me a new one? Or could you tell me what it is? That's a bad sign. There are a couple of things that will let you know that they have the key. But generally, you could just look at their terms of service, mm-hmm. and you'll be able to tell that.
So I think like most average people, I mostly use cloud services for photos.
Right.
And it's a good idea to use more than one because just in case one fails you. So, and I think that Loquacious in the chat room was saying, I love Dropbox. I just wish they had a better pricing. And it's true. Dropbox will, you know, they'll do kind of shady, not shady things, but things I don't like where like, you know, get someone to sign up and you'll get more free service. I'm not a big fan of trying to, you know, encourage your friends, use your friends as leverage to get free stuff. It's just I'm not a fan of that. And I think a lot of the reason I am fond of Dropbox, and maybe I don't want to speak for you, Loquacious, but it was the first one, right? Like it was the first service that would really was easy to share your files. I remember like back in the day you would say, you know, I have this big file, like don't email it, like just use Dropbox. And so I think
that's
that there's
really true.
There's a lot of there's just a lot of, gosh, you were the first one there. But then at the same time, it's expensive. And it is, they've had some issues with security. I know there was some ransomware. Like I, in my last job, there was an entire, like someone had clicked on a phishing scam and then all of our Dropbox files in this project that I was working on.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah. And
that's an example of really why, you know, you got to be careful with cloud storage. Mm-hmm.
But so, and they don't do anything. Like I have all my photos on Google Photos and Prime Photos and iCloud, and I get advantages with that. Like Google Photos, we've talked about it a million times, but they'll put slideshows together for you. They'll make GIFs out of, you know, many of the photos you took. They'll give you your memories. And
I think it's so worth it.
Yeah. And same with obviously iCloud, having your photos all there are just easy if you're, if you use iPads and iPhones and Macs, they're just all there and you can easily make photo books. And Prime Photos is the same way. Like now I can play all my Prime photos on my Echo Show, which I just got. So, you know, it's nice to have this screen in my kitchen that I just say, you know, I'd say play my photos and then all of my photos from a certain day or a certain trip will appear. So it's they're giving all these extras. So it's free. Plus, it's a little bit of extra fun stuff. But I mean, that's I'm talking about average people, people like you, people who do want to run their own home server, who have these giant files, people like John, who has 10 million episodes of Doctor Who that he wants to store somewhere. That everyone has different needs.
Well, and that's why I would suggest.
That was John with his episodes. Kevin thought we should see John in his
that's scary.
Episodes of Doctor Who.
I thought there was somebody coming for us. if you're not watching video, don't worry about it. That's why what I would suggest is that you be aware of the implications of using various cloud storages and continue to use Dropbox, continue to use iCloud, especially the free tiers, but understand that they're not completely private and secure. And then maybe, now Treasure It is expensive, but maybe if there's some stuff you really, you know, don't, you know, those pictures from the party last weekend, you really don't want to leak out to anybody, you use a service like Treasure It or perhaps set up your own cloud storage. It's not, it's expensive, but not, you know, impossibly so to have a cloud server at home. It's more of a technical issue to have your own cloud server. So it's a good idea, though, to understand the different levels of security and then use it appropriately. Put the data in the right place. Put data you don't, you know, you're not too worried about on places like iCloud and Dropbox. It really is important, you know, if you're taking embarrassing pictures on your iPhone, that you don't put those on iCloud. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I wouldn't put them on Google and I wouldn't put them on Amazon Prime storage. Those you want to keep somewhere else. Unfortunately, it's not always easy to say, well, these pictures are okay. So this is something you've got to think about a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's they make it complicated, not only by having, you know, free tiers and changing prices. And, it's not easy to go. And there are comparison tables, but if you look at them, it's pretty complicated to figure out, and that's how they want it. Frankly, they want you to just go, I'm just going to use iCloud, it's easier. I'm just going to use Dropbox, it's easier. And I use them all. I have Box, I have Dropbox, I have iCloud, I have OneDrive, I have Amazon, I have Google. I use them all.
I think the one thing that's really changed since maybe we did an episode like this a year ago or 2 years ago, we would have a lot more services like Treasure It that people had never heard of, that we would say like, hey, try this cloud service, try that cloud service. But it really is now down to the big guys, to those companies that are competing on all ends, Amazon, Google, Apple. You know, Dropbox is fighting, like, you know, for its life there among all of those services. And, you know, some part of me feels bad, like, oh, yeah, I want the independent services. But when you're talking about trusting a company with all of that information, you want them to stick around for a while. You want to know that they're going to be around. And that's not saying that they won't, that though any of these services will be around forever. And they do have the right to, if they change hands, to give all of our content to someone else. So that is something to think about, too, when you're talking about, you know, those pictures you took last Saturday or your important documents, you know, whatever you might have, if you, you know, your work stuff, all that stuff. It's good to keep that in mind.
Yeah, it's absolutely. This is why we're talking about it. And I have, you know, I have to say that this new file browser, which will be available for everybody in the fall, is going to be a really, look, I just added Treasure It to, so as soon as you install the app, it'll show up in the file browser. I think this means we're going to see a lot more usage on the iPad. This was kind of always a problem with the iPad, was, you know, where are my files and how can I preserve them? Now you have a choice. You don't have to use iCloud. You have other choices. And so now you've got to do a little bit of homework. If you don't want to do homework, iCloud's a great choice. Just remember, don't put anything on iCloud that you don't, you know, want to be public, because it could conceivably become public. Remember that it is going to cost you. I do the $1.99 a month tier. What is that? I think that's 10 gigabytes. Maybe it's 100 gigabytes. It's enough so that I don't, I think it's 100 gigabytes for $2 a month. That's a good price. And that's enough for me to back up my phone and my iPad and not have to worry about it and still have enough left over for things like iWork. So $2 a month, remember it's not fully secure. It's just, it just works with Apple stuff. I think that's a good choice.
Yeah, 50 gigabytes for 99 cents a month.
50 gigabytes for 99 cents a month.
So it's probably 100. I don't know how much.
Yeah, I think I get 100 for $2 a month. 50 is good too.
Yeah.
You start with a low tier, because and then when you fill it up, then they'll say, but it is a good idea to pay attention to what you're backing up to it, because you may not, you may say, well, I don't need to back up that old iPad, or, you know, you may decide to save money over backing up some devices. It's most important, I think, that you back up your phone. That's where all the stuff is that you're going to, you know, especially pictures that you're going to want.
Yeah. And then spend, you know, before you gauge how much it's worth to you. Like, if I spend an hour, you know, figuring out what I'm backing up, deleting a bunch of stuff I no longer need, that might be worth it to you rather than going up to the next tier.
Yep.
So we're talking about losing our files, losing our stuff. You can lose your stuff in the cloud, but you can most often lose your stuff in real life.
I don't lose my stuff. I use the Tracker. Don't you love the Tracker? This is the original. It's not actually original. Tracker started, I think it was a Kickstarter project a few years ago. They were the first Bluetooth tracker, or one of the first Bluetooth trackers, and they really are a great solution for anybody who is, you know, prone to misplacing. Keys are number one, right? But wallets, bicycles, anything that purses that you value, attach a tracker to it. You pair the tracker to your phone, and then you know where it is at all times. I'll show you the Tracker software because I've got it on my iPhone here. It gives you a map of where your stuff is. Oops. So I can see, if I look right here, the key to my car is right here, where we are, right? But now what if I left the key behind at work? It's kind of like, you're used to this a little bit with Find My iPhone. You could then go into the Tracker program and say, oh, I left it at work. But what if, and here's the real what if, somebody goes, sees, oh, Leo left his car keys. Let me go for a spin, or let me just take the keys and move to Montenegro. Then you wouldn't see where your keys are, because this is just Bluetooth, so it's only good for 100 feet. This shows you it's the last time your app saw it. But here's the beauty part. There are 4.5 million Tracker devices out there, millions of Tracker owners. Anytime their phone sees your keys, even in Montenegro, in fact, if you look at the map, they're all over the world, you'll get a ping on your phone saying, hey, I just saw your keys in Montenegro. So everybody's helping everybody out. Privately, securely, you don't even have to worry about it. I'll tell you what, I've realized there's certain things I just don't want to lose. I just put the new Tracker Pixel, I love this, on my camera. So you see how easy it is. Tracker Pixel is the lightest Bluetooth tracker out there. This is the new one. It lights up too, which is neat. It's got Oh, and you hear that? That's my phone ringing because I just pressed the button on the tracker pixel that says, where's my phone? But it will also light up. I don't. You probably can't see it in the studio with LED lights all the way around the ring, which makes it easy to find. If I leave my camera or keys in a dark room or they fall behind the couch or whatever, I'll get a 90 decibel tone out of my tracker. I could do it right now. And I will. Here, let's do it right now. See if you can hear it. Can you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
And it will light up. Oh, I just stopped it. And that means it's a lot easier to find. I love the tracker. And very affordable, especially if you use our promo code iOSToday at thetracker.com. iOSToday at thetracker.com. There's the map of all the tracker owners. Zoom out a little bit because you'll see they're all over the world. 20% off. There you are. Millions of them. Everywhere. Even Montenegro. Actually, especially Montenegro.
I guess I'll have to find another way to steal your car. Another place to go when I steal
your car. Well, just go to Siberia. Apparently, there's only one up there.
Okay.
TheTracker.com, promo code iOS today to save 20% off any order. Fill up your cart. Load them up with the Tracker Bravos. You see this now? They have this beautiful UV LED printing on the Tracker Bravo. You can also get it engraved. Even for pets, you know, these are small enough and light enough. You could put them on a pet, get the waterproof enclosure, and you're good to go. Tracker. TheTracker.com. Offer code iOS today. And the other reason I love the tracker, it has a replaceable battery. So most of these other Bluetooth trackers, when they wear out, you have to throw them out. And that just bugs me. I don't like to do that. On the tracker, you just pop out the battery. It uses a CR1616, and you just pop in a new one, and you're good to go for another 6 months to a year. The tracker, I love it. TheTracker.com. Don't forget iOS today is the promo code. That's kind of fun, isn't it?
Did you accidentally press the button?
I did. It wasn't an accident, but yes, I did. I like that little tune. You can make your own tunes. You can make your own tracker sounds. Yeah, yeah. You don't have to have it be that.
Mm-hmm. Geeking Tom asks if you track a pet. I put on my dog because I don't want him to get away.
Now, remember, it's not a GPS device, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you couldn't. I mean, at least not for now. I'm sure when you can get them small enough and the battery power long enough, you will be able to do this with the tracker. But for what this is a Bluetooth device. So if the pet gets outside of range, then you're going to count on your neighbors having the tracker mm-hmm. software, and they'll see your pet and let you know where your pet is. It's a great solution. I use it on my keys, as you can see on the cameras. I don't want to lose. I don't want to leave behind. You know, at the restaurant or whatever, having a tracker on it is a really great thing. Completely out of why is that out of focus? Oh, because it's not down here.
Mm.
Hey, Leo, hey. You know how cameras work, right?
Okay, so as you mentioned earlier, iOS 11 beta 2 is out, the public beta, and I want to thank Ryan and many others on Twitter who pointed out that the newest beta lets you make it rain to close all your apps. So last week we said that, you know, you had to hold down. But now
let
we
me
can just...
Yeah, let's, oh, you can make it rain.
And I know, as you said before, like, you don't need to do this. Apple knows what it's doing.
Yeah,
it's
but it's
not,
still nice.
But it's still fun to clean everything up.
Yeah.
And so thank you to so many people who mentioned that.
Make it rain. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yes.
Wow, that's cool.
I know. That's not really technically what make it rain means, but I don't have a big pile of money to go like that. So that's what I do with all my files that are open. I'm rich in open files and open tabs. Okay, free Beats for students. This happens usually... Free Beats if you buy a computer. So this happens usually around back-to-school-ish time. We're still a little bit away from back-to-school. But if you go to Apple, buy a Mac or an iPad Pro. It might be new this year that you buy an iPad Pro and they will supply the Beats. So it's great for kids going off to college. We are actually in the market. You know, my daughter's starting in high school next year, and we either have to buy her a Mac or an iPad Pro. And I think we're probably going to go for a Mac just because I think as her first computer, that's what we'll do. But yeah, and you can get free Beats.
She doesn't have a computer.
She doesn't really have. No, she doesn't use one. I mean, they had iPads in the schools.
And that was enough for her.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right for high school. I don't know. We're rapidly getting to the point where you could use an iPad, at least an iPad Pro. because it has a keyboard. Mm-hmm. But I like having a keyboard, like attached keyboard.
Yeah. I mean, I have really been using this iPad Pro more, the 10.5, because I have this really nice keyboard, full-size keyboard. But I don't know. You know, the iPad that she was given at school, she cracked the screen on that pretty quickly. And it had a giant case. I don't know how she managed to do that. So I think maybe a laptop, well, a lot more expensive, might be just a better, sturdier device for her. But
I have I ordered, as you know, we were talking about it, the Logitech Slim Combo. And it's coming tomorrow, of all things. So I'll have to show it next week. But this might, you know, as you get better and better situations with keyboards and cases, this is a case with a kickstand, which I think is great, a loop for the Apple Pencil, mm-hmm. a keyboard. It uses the smart connector, which means you don't, unlike yours, you don't have to charge the keyboard separately at all. You just charge the iPad and it keeps it going. And it's got a backlit keyboard. This, boy, as you add that in iOS 11, and again, you'd want to use it with an iPad Pro. If you need the Pencil, you know, if people like to take notes in pencil or they like to draw or they're doing something in school that requires that, this might not be a bad choice. I mean, it's not a, it's getting closer and closer anyway.
Mm-hmm. So I don't remember if I ever talked about Detour on this show. I know I talked about it on when it came out a few years ago on i5 for the iPhone, and Nate talked about it. Have you heard of Detour? It's an app for iOS, and it gives cool tours of all cities all over the world.
Oh, neat.
And they're often read by famous actors, but they're pricey. They, you know, they can be like $5 for a tour of Haight-Ashbury. Or,
oh,
you know,
that's a lot.
Yeah,
I mean, it's cheaper than buying a tour with my human.
Yes. So, but they're free all summer. Detour is free all summer.
Oh,
so,
that's a nice
all it's really an iPhone app. So you can get a tour of Chinatown or the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art. So here's the Beat Generation tour. You can get it free. It has.
If you had a headphone jack, we could just plug in our cable, but you don't.
Oh, I don't. Dang.
Wait, there's a naked man.
Yeah, that's the Beat Generation.
Oh, those hippies.
So it's not just, obviously, San Francisco. It's Los Angeles, Portland, Chicago, Buckingham Palace.
Wow.
And here's some of the people that are reading the tours. Eileen Miles. That's a famous person. She is a famous person.
Hi,
that.
I'm Eileen Miles, a poet, writer, and a big talker.
See, I would want to pay. Somebody like that, I would want to pay.
Right.
I can understand that charging if you're going to get a tour from, like, a poet.
Oh, but what about a tour from John Perry Barlow?
Of what, Montana?
No, San Francisco.
Oh, because, yeah, he was a songwriter for the Grateful Dead. He'd mm-hmm. be a great person to.
So, yeah, just all the sci-fi bookshops, salons, art galleries, strip joints, and faded rock and roll haunts. You'll plunge into a mind-bending discourse.
Fun.
So, yeah, so if you live in the Bay Area, you can check out your town. If you don't come here on your way to come visit us, tickets at twit.tv. Stop in San Francisco, or here's Charleston, Barcelona, New Orleans, Paris, New York City. I really love this app, and I'm excited that all summer they're free. So I think Ken Burns' tour of the Brooklyn Bridge. So check that out. The app is free. Detour.
I'd love Ken Burns touring me.
You can see it on
so we, you know, it's funny because we, as you know, we travel a lot. And mm-hmm. usually we go on cruises or guided tours. So we will have tour guides. And I actually like that. I like the idea that you get to a town and you can have somebody show it to you. But sometimes we'll be in a town and there's nothing scheduled or mm-hmm. or that we don't want to do the tour. And there's a great website that's a lot more expensive, but it's called Tours by Locals. And that's kind of similar. It's a real live person as opposed to, you know, an app. But I have to say that when you get a local or somebody really knows what they're doing, taking you around town, that's a lot of fun. So I think that that's take advantage of it mm-hmm. while it's free this mm-hmm. summer. I think that's this is the mm-hmm. website for Tours by Locals. But you'll spend hundreds of dollars and then you have to tip them. But, you know, that's a in-person tour. Mm-hmm. We did one in Venice with a wedding photographer who lives and works in Venice. And what she promised was to give us some photography tips and then show us the best unknown photographic sites in Venice. And it was wonderful. And it was $500. So $5, I guess that doesn't sound like that much.
Yeah, and some of them are cheaper than that, I think, too. But yeah, free all summer.
Yeah, good.
Okay, I have a stumper for you.
Yeah.
I asked for some advice on Twitter, but I still don't think I have the perfect answer for David. David has a theater group, a high school theater group. And he had a question about a communication system for his theater group. So what he wants is he's got a bunch of kids running around, you know, working on the props, getting the actors' makeup on, costumes, and he wants like a clear comm sort of system, like a mic, but he wants to use it on iPhone. Like they all have iPhones. He wants to be able to install it either on their school given devices or on their iPhones. So I had a few suggestions for him. Also, a lot of them are, you know, doing curtains and stuff, so their hands are full. So texting isn't the right. They want mainly voice. And so I had a few suggestions for him. One was Slack, which has calling now. It has video calling and audio calling. But for the free version of Slack, which I know, you know, budgets are tight in school theater programs, that doesn't have that, the free version. So you'd have to upgrade to the paid version of Slack. Also, another suggestion I had was the app House Party, which is popular among the kids these days. They might already
have
it.
That's not a bad idea. That's video, too. But you know, you could just keep it in your pocket and use the audio only.
Yeah. Or the video might be helpful.
In some cases, yeah, pull it out, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some people on Twitter suggested even Facebook Messenger, same thing. They have video calling, and it might also be something that the kids already have on their device.
What he's describing is something that we used to call push-to-talk.
Mm-hmm.
And remember remember those Nextel phones, and you'd hear it, Joe, get on over here, we got to deliver it back. Mm-hmm. And you'd hear them everywhere. So the carriers still offer similar things, but you'd all have to be on the same carrier because Nextel got sold. They bought by Sprint. Sprint decommissioned the specialized radio network that Nextel used. So now they all have to simulate it using LTE networks or the phone network. But almost all the carriers, the big carriers anyway, offer push to talk. But since it's a high school and, you know, it's a theater, I think probably most kids have. They may all have iPhones, but they may not all have the same carrier. So there are, the good news is, there are push-to-talk solutions on the iPhone. We're in the iPad, which is not going to be helpful. You really wouldn't want to use push-to-talk on the iPhone. But there are, you know, maybe I'll have to do a search for push-to-talk.
Well, Evan Dunn says there's a ClearComm has an iPhone app, but I thought that that had to work with, you had to have the ClearComm system already.
Here we go. Push to talk. So there's quite a few. If you search for push to talk, these are walkie-talkie apps. Go PTT, push to talk. Azetti has one. Here's the Verizon, the AT&T solution. I wonder. This one is a guide for using WhatsApp as a push to talk. So it is probably likely that all of you have something like Facebook Messenger or WhatsApp, and you could do a group call with those chat apps. They all have voice built into them, and keep that call open, and that would work also. You could do anything that would allow you to do a conference call. Everybody would have to dial in at first, right, to the conference call. You'd put in your, you know, Apple headset.
Mm-hmm.
You'd put your phone in your pocket, and you'd close it and keep that conference call going. Then you can all hear one another. Now, that doesn't mean you can silence other people. I mean, they'd have to open the app and press mute if, you know, you wanted to silence them. It's kind of got the pros and cons of a conference call, but that'd be another way to do it. The nice thing about push to talk is you can say, call Joe or call makeup. And so a push to talk app will work for that. But if all you want to do is just have everybody talking to everybody else, any conferencing app will do that. Hangouts, Messenger, WhatsApp. Anything that has voice calling and voice conferencing. House Party has the same problem because you're all on at once. So push to talk if you just want to, but then you have to take out your phone and say, call makeup or call wardrobe and pick it on the phone. Maybe Siri. I wonder, some of them might have Siri capabilities. Mm. You could say, hey, you know who, call wardrobe. Or if you are disciplined, you could keep the conference line open. Problem with that is, it's noisy backstage. Everybody's crazy running around. You don't want to be listening as a stage manager to all of that nuttiness going on in the background. There's some good solutions.
Yeah, and I had a lot of people tweet at me. There's something called Zello walkie-talkie.
There's a lot of these.
Yeah, but then I didn't hear from anyone who said, our group uses this, you know, right. And we have a lot of success with it. So that was what I was really looking for. So if your group has something like this, email me at meganandtwit.tv and maybe we can help.
Just a recommendation. We found a ton of them. Here's another one that F and Dunn shows us called Unity Intercom. Same idea. And this is the idea you want, where you can say, talk to individual people as opposed to this is an intercom system. So you see here, camera four, you're talking to camera four. Mm-hmm. This is kind of basically like a ClearCom solution, but totally with the iPhone. Oh, this is nice. It has an Apple Watch app too. That would be cool. I doubt many of the kids have Apple Watches, but you could then choose who you're talking to that way. Mm-hmm. That's probably more what you want than a group chat. Mm-hmm. And then some of the reviews. This was a total waste. There's no way to understand how this app works. And then I've used this app many times with a team, and it's stunning. So most of the reviews seem pretty positive.
And that's a look at the new App Store reviews, which are nice. That's definitely
This is iOS 11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You couldn't scroll through apps like that.
No.
I mean, reviews, app reviews.
Yeah, now you can see them kind of like this. Yeah. And I have to say, despite this one negative, most of these are very positive. So thank you, F and Dunn, for recommending this. It's called Unity Intercom. Here, let's put it on our phones and we can try it.
Mm.
No. Let's not.
Okay.
I can hear you perfectly well. You're right here.
Okay. Last week, we had some problems with our Safari windows, our double windows. Do
yes.
you recall?
Yes.
And so
you came up spontaneously with a solution.
No.
No?
I didn't.
Somebody else
Ewell,
did?
Ewell.
Ewell did.
He said dual Safari screens can be set up with Command N. Closing one Safari screen is Command W. So let's take a look at this. So, Command W.
Okay.
Yes, submit that form. Okay, let's see. Command N, Command W.
But how do you know which screen's going to close?
That's a good. I'm getting lots of notifications.
It closes. So Command W closes open tabs. And this is very similar to what you were doing. Because remember, or Ewell told us, which is just close tabs.
Yes.
And then when you close the last tab in a pane, it opens it up to the last. So I think most of the people who wrote in gave us similar solutions, mm-hmm. which is you'll have a frame open if there's tabs in it. Just close all the tabs and then the frame will go away.
Command.
It feels like Apple.
Command N.
While it's still in flux, you might still have a finger swipe gesture that would.
Yeah.
Because you do with other apps, right? I mean, if I have two apps and two panes. I can swipe it, like that. I can swipe them away. So having to close, a tab is kind of a weird difference from the overall experience. See, if I have this open now, let's bring another app up into the. Maybe I can't do that with a control panel. Let's do the. Aren't I supposed to? There we go.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. You kind of expect the behavior to be like this.
Yeah.
Even if it's two Safari panes, I still expect to be able to do this with
them. Right. That's why I use Safari instead of Chrome.
Right. And so the fact that I can't swipe it out like that is a little bit of a mystery to me. Mm. Remember, we can't do this anymore. It doesn't come from there anymore. It comes from here. That's going to take people. I know we're going to hear from people on that one.
Yeah. They barely swipe right. I barely knew ya.
Yeah.
Okay. Robert took issue with our criticism of Planet of the Apps. He says, I think you and Leo should give Planet of the Apps another look. I'm loving it. I'm especially awed by some of the things these app developers are coming up with, the stories behind these apps. I'm hugely impressed.
I think the idea is absolutely great, just to highlight app developers and their process. I resent the fact that we've got Will.i.am, Will's not so bad, and Gwyneth Paltrow as judges. I resent the whole idea of judging.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I think mostly, I just think it's stupidly produced.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not alone in this.
Mm-hmm.
Apple is widely being criticized for this. In fact, one of the reviews I said is, this initial episode is so bad, it's really disappointing. They've already got six more in the can. It's like, can't you stop now? And I particularly don't like the escalator.
Yeah, the escalator pitch.
That's just dopey. I don't think swipe right and all that. I don't think that. Remember, we did a show like this called I'd Fund That, where we would bring on people with Kickstarters, and we'd have a panel of judges deciding whether it would be worth putting money into it or not. It initially seemed like a good idea. We didn't do it. We stopped doing it. We piloted it, and we did a few episodes, and we stopped it because it seemed cruel and unnecessary. And you know, I think we had the good sense to stop. They have not. Do you really want Jessica Alba and Gwyneth Paltrow and Will.i.am? Gary, I'd trust, I guess, telling you whether your app is worth producing, and here's some money. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But thank you, Robert, for writing in. We always
hey everybody
dissenting opinions.
Different strokes for different folks.
Amen.
Everybody has, you know, we're just expressing our opinion. We're not saying we're right, but we are. But we're not. No, we're not saying we're just that's our opinion.
Yeah. Ben from Omaha sent us a video with a question, and he says he apologizes if his eyes are closed. He is visually impaired, and sometimes that happens.
Hi, Megan and Leo. It's Ben from Omaha, Nebraska. I was wondering if there was an app that you can convert handwritten text, such as this, into normal print as you would see on a PDF, say. Thanks. Love the show.
Is he cute?
Yes. Ben sends us lots of questions. I always appreciate
them. Thank you, Ben.
There are some apps that do this, but I definitely wanted to play his question because there's another new feature in iOS 11 that it does something similar, which is allow you to search in your notes. So you can now in iOS 11 with the notes feature, you can write with handwriting.
Because it is, in fact, behind the scenes converting it.
Yes.
But it's imperfect.
It is imperfect.
This is a very hard thing to do, Ben.
Yes. Why is that doing that?
Get a pen.
Okay. Maybe my...
You might be dead. Your pencil might be dead.
My pencil might be dead. Oh. Okay. So I do this. Why is that doing that? Get a pen.
Yeah, I think your pencil's dead.
My pencil's dead. So I can write with my finger, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Megan.
Now you have to write very clearly.
Mm-hmm. Very clearly. And then I could try the share sheet. That's how you do it. And then you can find in note so I can see if it
Let's
will
see
find
if it knows.
Megan.
Yeah, it did.
So it found that. So if, Ben, this is what you need to just have your notes be able to be searchable, then you can write in notes on your iPad and do that. But that might not be what you need.
So what you're talking about is something called optical character recognition. It's extraordinarily hard to do with handwriting. It's a lot easier to do with this, you know, print. If, Ben, what you want is to take something, a piece of paper you've written on, and OCR it, you're going to have very poor results. For some reason, if you use an app, and there are many apps that do this on iOS, and take notes in the app, many of the note-taking apps will convert it to text. Evernote has a feature that will do that. The reason Apple, clearly, in order for Apple to search through your handwritten notes, it's done it. It doesn't want to show you the results because it does it so imperfectly. Because handwriting's hard. Everybody writes letters differently. The more clearly you write, especially if you block print, the more likely the OCR will work. And there certainly are OCR apps that will let you take a picture of a page and scan it in. I just think you're going to be disappointed. But if you look for OCR, and you'll find a number of these. You can use your camera on your iPad and take a picture of the notes. It would work better if you used a note-taking app in the iPad and wrote carefully. Part of the reason that works is because you're going to get immediate feedback. As you write, it'll convert it into text, and you'll know whether it got it right or not. And so you'll have a better result that way. And it might encourage you also to write more clearly. But just look for OCR, optical character recognition. And there are a number of programs that will do that. Just from photos that you take with your iPad.
Right. And a lot of them will cost money. One that is free is Adobe Scan.
Right.
If you have a
That's
creative,
a great program. I love
If you have a
that.
Creative Cloud account,
oh,
then
yeah.
It's free.
That's a free account, right?
It's a free account. So that is one thing that you can do. And I think it's sort of the same thing. You know, you can scan the text, so you take a picture of it.
Right. It's just going to not work so well with handwriting unless your handwriting is really good.
Right. And you, like me, it appears, Ben, does
why,
not have...
Why are you looking at my finger?
That was, I was looking for a document to scan that was handwritten.
Oh, that's your camera.
One. Yeah, that's my
I can... Here, we can give you some text to scan.
Okay, let's see.
See, there's handwriting. That's going to be... Well, look, it had handwriting. Go ahead and use that.
Yes, that was me. That was one of my notes from my bullet journal.
And how well did it do that?
Well,
see, your handwriting's terrible.
My handwriting is really terrible.
Wash mattress. It might be able to get the, the list.
Oh, my.
How do you wash a mattress? Do you put it in the dish in the washing machine?
These are my extra cleaning things that I need to do. You wash your washing machine.
Oh, you know, people forget to clean your washing machine. a dirty washing machine's terrible thing.
It is. This was the day after the holiday.
This is your joking, obviously. all right. So I don't think it's going to do a great job with handwriting.
No, like and I don't. I know I scanned this, but I think it's just keeping it. I don't know exactly.
Oh, you've got to find the OCR capability.
Yeah, that is.
I've used for a long time a program called Scanner Pro. I used it on my iPhone, but it's also available on the iPad. That's about $4. But again, I don't. The OCR part of it. Is going to just, you know, I just think it's going to choke.
Text Grabber by Abby. Have you ever used that? That
one. Abby, ABBY, has been around for a long time.
That's
They're one
$5.
Of the better known scanning companies. So that's going to do, Abby, for instance, is going to do as well as anything does out there.
Thank you, Drew Nielsen, for he was.
You wrote Wonder Woman kicked butt in your notes?
Yes, I did.
She doesn't even need a cape. I noticed that.
Yeah. She just jumps with her thighs. That's a page from my journal.
Wonderful, wonderful. I haven't seen it still. Still haven't seen it. So actually, let's not forget, Microsoft offers a free program called Office Lens that does, I believe, at least, let's see. It trims, enhances, and makes pictures of whiteboards and documents readable. It can convert images to editable Word and PowerPoint files. So that definitely does OCR.
And that's free too.
And that's free. Start with that, Office Lens. This is designed for the office so that it would you know, scan a whiteboard, for instance, which is handwritten, and preserve it. It has a business card mode. Yeah, I would start with the Office Lens.
All right, I think we have time for one more question. I always have more questions than we have time for. Do we have time for one more before the app cat?
Please.
Okay. Michael writes, can you give any tips about how to make Google Maps the default on the iPhone? After doing a search, there are suggestions, but they refer to previous versions or simply don't
work.
You
can never make... I'm sorry.
No, you can't,
You
Michael.
Can never make anything not Apple be the default. You have to use Safari. Does he mean for Siri?
Through Maps. Google Maps, the default. Yeah. I guess, that's
a
good question.
Safari? Like when I say navigate, you know, like this.
Right.
Navigate to the White House, Washington, D.C. It says getting directions to the White House, and it's going to launch Apple Maps, right?
See, this is what, So what I use, because I do prefer Google Maps often, I use Google Assistant app on the iPhone. So it's right
that
here.
That will use Google Maps.
Yes, so it's right here on my front page. I just go like that, and I say navigate to the White House, Washington, D.C., and it will use Google Maps. There we go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's go. Okay, everybody, get your caps out. Ooh, and we're going.
If that's what you're talking about. Thank you. I had one more solution for that. You can make Google Maps the Chrome default. So you can't make Chrome the default. But if you just put the apps that you want on your phone and just use your I'm sure this is a tip that everyone knows, but that the apps that you use most often, Audible, Google Assistant, Twitter, Slack, you just put them right here because this is where your thumb is.
And that's going to be easier in iOS 11 now. You'll have that dock and that's got more room and so forth. Yeah, that's going to be good. I haven't put iOS 11 on my phone. I don't know.
Either.
It doesn't have all the same features. I wanted to use it with the iPad Pro. So I'm not sure what it'll look like on the iPhone. Mm-hmm. I suppose I should try it.
Because you have lots of phones. This is just my only phone.
It's all, I use my iPhone predominantly. You know why I use the iPhone? It's got it's best battery life of any phone out there. It's as simple as that, you know? I mean, I like the camera's great and all that, but... all right. Shall I be bold?
Maybe we should have a vote. Maybe I'll put a vote
on
Twitter.
Shall I be bold?
Shall I be bold? Shall I wear gold? Shall I walk on
the sea? I'm tempted. All right. Before next week, I will have iOS 11 on my iPhone.
Yes.
Actually, we should. Somebody, one of us has to do it.
You.
All right. Because that way we can say what will be different in the iPhone. It's going to be out in 2 months. It's not that far off. All right. Time to put on your cap. And today we actually have caps.
We do have caps. Did someone make a specific request for caps?
Well, we call them app caps. Now, you've chosen to do the bent brim.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm much more hip. You're wearing a Google cap.
Mm-hmm. Because I love Google Assistant so much.
Yes. I'm wearing a Billabong cap because I'm a hip surfer dude, and it has the flat brim. And I was told by my son for years, "Oh, leave it flat."
Mm-hmm.
And then in the last year, he started curving it again.
Yeah, it's the style. It's like the length of
skirts. It changes. It just changes.
So, you know, scientists say that when you can't see someone's eyes, you trust them less. Like, that was the problem with Google Glass. Is that true?
Yeah, like, what are you hiding?
Is that true right now?
Yes, I don't trust you.
Okay, then I should show my eyes because I want you to trust me.
You could be a dementor. I don't know what you are. You could suck the life out of me.
This is the style that these are meant to be worn these days.
This is, I don't get this one. Why do people do that?
Because it's cool. I think
I've
that
turned
was
for those of you listening at home. I've turned it so the brim is behind me, and you see all the bros do this now. I just saw a picture of Henry, my son, 22. This is how he wears his cap.
Is he a bro?
He's a bro. He's definitely a bro.
Aww.
He just, you know. I won't share the bro with you. We're making dinner tonight. We're doing sous vide tonight. If you want to come over,
bros do sous vide?
No.
Okay.
That's why Henry puzzles me.
Dude.
Look at that. Is it because of Nintendo's Pokemon?
Henry looks really different.
Yeah, he lost his nose and mouth in a horrible accident. No, that's not. That's a picture of what's his name?
Ash.
The Ash character from Pokemon.
All right, so we're wearing caps because this is our app caps.
Do you think ash is why people wear their hats like this?
I don't know. Kevin is the only millennial we know in real life, so, I mean, besides your son.
We're sous-viding tonight. Anybody wants to come over? I should show you. I'll have to take some Instagram pictures.
Please do.
So I got the sous-vide, and I, you know, the Anova is like $100, and the idea is...
Did you get it on Prime Day? Because it was...
I did. Because it was a good deal. Mm-hmm. That's actually how this all started.
Mm-hmm.
But then, so what sous-vide is it's French for under vacuum. You seal meats or fish or vegetables even in a bag, and you cook them at a very low temperature in a water bath for a very long time. So if you want to do medium rare steak, that's 100. If you're grilling it, you're trying to get the center of the steak to 135 degrees. So what you do is you put it in a sealed bag so there's no air, which insulates. Put it in the bath for an hour or two till all the meat is exactly 135 degrees. Now the problem is it's incredibly unappetizing at that point. It just looks like piece of gray
somebody
meat.
Who's been in the bath too long.
Yeah, a little wrinkly. So then you have to do, and this is what restaurants first created this, because they could have, you know, they could have, this is literally have a tub of rare, medium rare, and well done steaks that just need to be finished. And then you finish it by, you pop it on the grill, you put it on the broiler, you put it in a frying pan to crisp it up on either side. It looks like a normal steak. It's beautiful inside, perfectly cooked, but just because you don't have to burn it to get it cooked all the way through. That's the principle. But you don't stop with a sous vide because now you have to get a torch. So I have this giant torch that you could use to sear the stuff.
Or be in the Olympics.
And then you have to get a vacuum sealer. Mm. And then by the time Prime Day ended up costing me hundreds of dollars.
That's how they get you.
Darn you, Amazon! Okay.
I bought another Echo Dot on Prime Day, even though I don't need it.
But they were so cheap, $25.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, $25. All right, so we're wearing caps. I don't know if this is the best look for me. I'm going to go back this way. It's important.
I like that look.
Okay, like the bros.
You're a bro.
I'm a bro.
What's a... Never mind. I was going to ask what the female version of bro is,
but
I don't know if I want to know.
A woman. Just stop.
Do I look like I'm in our gang?
Yeah. All right. So we do this app cap His app rhymes with cap, and it's our favorite app of the week. And mine is called Seeing AI, and it's by Microsoft. And it is a new app. They're using AI to help people with low vision or other vision problems to see. So I have had some mixed results with Seeing AI. It's definitely in its beginning stages. And Kenny, who watches our show, and I always ask him about apps because he is also seeing impaired, and he has given me some feedback. He said it's still, he has other apps that work better.
So when you go to the movies or watch a movie at home, sometimes you can get the descriptive version of the movie, mm-hmm. which is for blind people, mm-hmm. where it tells you what you're seeing. They can hear the sound. It's kind of the opposite of closed captioning. Closed captioning for people with hearing problems, you can watch the screen, but then it tells you what people are saying. This is the opposite. You can hear the sound, but then it tells you what the people are seeing.
Right. And iOS has voiceover built in, so
this is the opposite. This is the this is the perfect.
So
it stays on even while you're.
So if I wanted to like read my Twitter or Audible, can you hear that?
Yeah. But that's voiceover.
Yeah, that's voiceover. But okay. I'm going to turn voiceover.
So do you use voiceover in conjunction with Seeing AI?
You know, that is a good question.
Or does Seeing AI just work on its
own? Seeing AI is supposed to work on its own, but I haven't gotten it to speak yet. I have gotten it to use the AI to show me. So, like, I'm looking at you. I'm taking a picture of you.
The way they say you look like you run a diner.
So I... So it took a picture of you, and then it says 54-year-old man wearing a hat looking happy.
Oh, but notice I took 6 years off my age because I was wearing the hat sideways.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Because we did this before.
That's
and you were
awesome.
Like a 67-year-old man.
Awesome.
So that is pretty amazing. I mean, let's just take a minute to think that a computer knew you were a 54-year-old man wearing a hat.
I'm actually blown away. Do it without the hat. Just see how old it thinks I am.
All right.
And then if I take off my tie, I bet it takes a couple years off too.
Let's see.
No, be sad.
Oh.
Okay, now I'm sad. Let's see if it knows I'm sad.
59-year-old man looking sad.
Oh, it took like 4 years off for the cap.
So this is...
Let me try it without a tie. I just have to I have to see what it's doing. And I'll pop my
collar.
That's
all. No, nothing else comes off, though, when we're doing this, okay?
That's the Rico Suave look.
Okay, so you're looking neutral. It has some work to do. I think that is not your neutral look. But, okay, so this
is all... what would you... I mean, what word would you use to describe that? I mean, that's not even describable, whatever is going on there.
That's true.
It did get the age right, though, which is... It's really very good on the age.
You... I would say... I don't know what I would say you are.
It's probably based on the white hair.
No, but the neutral look. But, okay, so all fun and games aside, yes, you can use voiceover to say, that's Twitter, that's Audible. But to say, to be able to say, like, that person is scared, that person is angry,
that's really
that person
great
is,
stuff.
You know, this is really useful.
You know, I think that is so fantastic. And people use it walking around town. They mm-hmm. can, you know, it's really great. Mm-hmm. This is called, is it free? How much is
it? It's free. It's called Seeing AI. And it is supposed to read this. And
this
all
is
the,
from Microsoft.
Yes. And all of the help videos are done by one of the engineers who is seeing visually impaired. So you
they
can,
had this, remember they've had this mm-hmm. thing where it would say what, you know, how old you are.
How
they
old
were
you are.
Obviously gathering more data for this. That's
yes,
great.
Yes, exactly. So you can look at a document with this. You can look at a
how old does it think you are? Have you tried that?
Here, take a picture of me with the hat on.
And then you don't have to say if it's right or not. How do you press? How do you take a picture?
The camera is on the side. Do you see the camera icon?
Oh, yeah. 33-year-old woman.
No, it does not say
wearing
that.
A hat, looking happy.
Really?
That is awesome.
Oh, thank you so much, Microsoft.
I think...
That is, oh my goodness. I'm going to buy some Microsoft stock.
I'm guessing
just
that
kidding.
They just automatically subtract a few years on everything.
11?
Don't want to make anybody unhappy. That's really good. That's great.
Yeah. So you can also, what you can do is you can take regular pictures. I could take a bunch of pictures of you so that it would recognize you. And then when I, you know, held it up, it would say, that's Leo.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
We're getting really good at this. I think this is mm-hmm. an interesting advance. Mm-hmm. Now, and you're seeing it all over the place. I got those new Nest IQ cams that recognize people. And then you could say, no, those people are okay in my house. Those people, I don't know who they are. And it will tell you mm-hmm. from now on. Mm-hmm. I love that.
What's your app cap?
Oh, I stole this app cap. Steve Gibson sent me an email last week, after the show last week, after Security Now, saying, oh, you got to try this new game. I love it. I'm loving it. And he's not on till later this afternoon, where he'll probably talk about this game. So, Steve, I'm sorry. I'm going to steal this from you. It's called Circuitry. And it is a logic. I like it because it's a game. It's a fun game. If it's a very challenging game. But you also will learn Boolean algebra, logic gates, and digital circuits. Yes, that's how in fact, you're going to see the TWiT logo very early on. So like a lot of these games, you know, you've got problems to solve. And then there's a playground that you can create circuits with. But let's just start. I've gone farther at home, but I just thought I'd start at the beginning because it gets pretty hard pretty fast. A logic gate is an electronic circuit device which does a Boolean operation. Boolean's logic, and or true, false. Linking wires and circuitry allow these signals to be passed on from the outputs of the gates to the inputs of other gates. That sounds complicated, but here's the idea. This is an AND gate. So the way AND works in Boolean algebra, it is the output is true only if both of the inputs are true. The output is true only if both of these are true. So what we're going to do is we're connect these and connect these. Then we're going to check answer. So have we figured this out? Yep. So if they're both false, it's false. If they're one's true and one's false, it's false. But it's only true. Oh, actually, an AND gate. If both are false, it says. Oh no, that's right. Yeah. So it only is true if both are true, and it worked. You ready for the next one?
Yeah, I'm down.
That seemed pretty darn easy, right? But this is going to get a little bit harder. We've got two AND gates. In the previous problem, actually three AND gates, we wanted the output to be true when the first and second output were true. Using two AND gates, can you construct a circuit which outputs true when all three inputs are true? How do we do that?
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Well, I think here's how we do that. We're going to say this is going to output true only if both of these are true, right? Let's disconnect that from this and put this in here. Now, if we connect the output of there to that and this, now think about what's happening here. If these are both true, this is going to output true. That line will be true. If this is true too, that line will be true. Two trues, and we should get a true. This should test it.
If it's wrong, will we blow up?
Yes, okay. But it's not wrong. Now, so far, oh, by the way, by doing this, I've unlocked an AND gate, which you might know looks a little bit like the TWiT logo. We'll get to the TWiT logo in a little bit. All right, now we got a three-way OR gate. This gets a little bit harder. Using two OR gates, connect them so the output is true if any one of the inputs, A, B, or C, is true. So that's how an OR gate works. When you connect A and B to this, if either of these is true, A could be false or B could be false, but they can't both be false. If either of them is true, we'll get a true coming out that end. But we want to, and this is analogous to what we did with the AND gate. We want to add a third input. So now, if any one of these is true, does that make sense? Let's try it and see. Oh, yeah. That's the last of the easy ones.
Wow, so
it gets harder. We're going to make a NAND gate. It gets harder.
This.
Isn't it fun? And you're learning a few things. You're learning Boolean logic, true, false. But you're also learning what these circuit diagrams mean. And you're learning how to build a logic circuit. I love it. It's free. It's easy at first. You might look at it and say, well, wow, there aren't very many problems. Don't worry. There are plenty of problems when you get to the end of it. I do hope that he adds more problems in the end. This is a really... and there's a whole thing about circuitry, about the app that you can learn more about it. I'm very impressed, I have to say. I think that they've really done a great job.
There's playground mode as well.
Yeah.
That's where things get really interesting.
But you have to unlock, in order to do that, you have to unlock these. And look at, so I've unlocked a button, a light, or an AND. So I have some things I can do, but you'll want to get through all the problems to have all the possible circuits.
I love this.
It's free and it's fun. I really have to say. You actually are learning something. I think any kid in high school, I bet you a middle schooler or a smart kindergartner could probably.
It says age 4 and up.
Yeah. With a kid, you'd probably want to spend some time as the parent with a younger kid.
Yes, spend time doing it with them, which is awesome. I love it. It reminds me a little bit of Snap Circuits. Do you remember?
It's exactly that.
Yeah.
Except it's on the iPad.
Yes. Yeah,
it's kind of the same idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Snap Circuits. I mean, my kids had those. That when was they were a like five.
Yeah. It was a physical version of this. Yeah. Yeah. Set the the outputs to be equal to A NAND B. That is, so what does a NAND gate do? Make the output signal false only when both inputs are true. It's a negative AND. It reverses it. So let's see. So this is a regular AND gate. Make the output signal when both inputs are true. So with a regular AND gate, now we know that this line's going to be true if they're both true. So it'll output a false. Oh, look, I even got a green light. Let's see. Ooh. Yeah.
So okay. You lit that up.
I lit it up, baby. It's getting harder and
harder.
Lit. Not using a NAND and on and on and on. So thank you, Steve Gibson. I'm sorry I stole your thunder. But I figured people who watch Security Now probably don't watch iOS Today and vice versa. So I hope that everybody who watches Security Now doesn't tell Steve.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to email him right now just because.
I'm not doing any more because it's too hard now.
I love this app. I already downloaded it. I'm going to tell my kids' teachers about it. It's amazing.
Thank you.
And that's it. That's all we have you this week.
We're done, but that's okay because MacBreak Weekly is coming up next, so there's lots more Apple stuff to come. We do iOS Today at a new time. Maybe you noticed if you tuned in live. We're now at 9 a.m. Pacific on Tuesdays. That's noon Eastern time or 1600 UTC at twit.tv/live. Or you can listen to it there. Or you can watch it later after the fact. But if you watch it live, would you do us a favor? Join us in the chat room, irc.twit.tv. Then you're part of that whole live viewing community. Of course, every show we do at Twit is available on the internet. Just go to twit.tv, our website, in this case, twit.tv/iOS. Or whatever program you use to subscribe to podcasts, use that and subscribe to iOS Today. That way you won't miss an episode. So thanks for joining us at our new time. If you're live, if you're not, thanks for listening. And come back soon. We'll see you next time on iOS Today. Bye-bye. I flipped my lid.